It's a beautiful morning.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. I'm here with Doc Beale today, and we're talking about lots of summer vacation tips and information that can keep you safe, can keep you healthy, and also keep you having fun. You're not having to worry about all of these things, right, Doc Beale?
That's true. You know, we have to look at ways to make your trip go good, have a great, fun trip, and also considering other members of the family, such as your pet.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that 79% of people travel with their pets? 79%.
That's probably even higher in California.
What, 100%? Well, that is, of course, those people who have pets. So we're not talking about all people, just those who have pets. But now we have three dogs, so we're doing a lot of traveling with our pets as well.
Well, we do, and you have to make sure those pets are in a location or a place where they can't distract or bother the driver. And that's something that you really got to consider when you're driving with pets.
Well, you know, that can be kind of hard because everyone likes that, you know, nice little, you know, picture perfect, you know, you see people driving with their cute little dog sitting in their lap, or the dog is looking out the driver's side window. I mean, it looks so cute.
Well, it does, but if it's, you know, having a little 5-pound dog is one thing, having a 110-pound dog or 150-pound dog is something else. And that you have to be quite careful with because even very slow stops, those animals can move and interact with the driver. And so you want to make sure the driver is not distracted. They can drive the car freely and have not a problem, and therefore the dog won't have a problem.
Well, you know, the other interesting thing, too, when you talk about the statistics of people saying, you know, that they are traveling with their pets, the large number of people say that they have been distracted by their pet doing something in the car. It could be the pet moving back and forth, or it could be the pet, you know, maybe becoming ill in the car, but that they have been distracted in some way or another with the pet, traveling with it. So they're are some concerns, not only for the person who's driving that car, but also, too, for the other people out on the road.
What is? You want to make sure the pet is at least fairly well restrained in the vehicle, at least has a fair amount of space to move in and not interact with the drivers. You also want to make sure that the pet, if it's driving outside the car, it's secure so it can't leave or fall out the vehicle. So these are all things you want to take into account when you're dealing with a pet.
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen people driving with the windows down and the pet hanging with their head out, or even up to the chest part of their body hanging out of the window as well. And that can be dangerous because debris and dirt and things like that that's on the road could actually fly up and hurt or harm the dog's eyes or his face.
Well, true. You'd also want the pet ejected or falling out the vehicle because then other cars behind you may try to avoid it and that can become a big problem.
That would become a really big problem. But, you know, okay, so we've done all the things right with restraining the pet and everything. What about all of these incidents that we're hearing about with people leaving their pets in these hot cars? That's not a good thing.
Well, it's not. People think they go to a place only be going for a minute or so. You know, crack the window to roll the window down enough so the pet can stick its head up but can't leave the vehicle. And if you're going to have to do it, then just make it a short trip. But make sure those windows are well ventilated, opened up, and the pet is not going to be suffered with problems with heat.
Or just leave the pet at home, because even if you think that you're going to be in for a short amount of time, even with the windows rolled down in those cars, I mean, it can become very, very hot in there, even with the windows down. So you just want to take those precautions. But now I've decided I'm going to take my dog along with me. So what kind of things should I pack, Doc Beale?
You want to pack the dog's food.
Absolutely.
As far as the dog's concerned, that's number one. You also want to make sure there's some type of water and some type of dish or bowl to put the water in when you come to stops. Make sure you have your restraining devices, such as leashes, you know, for the dog as well. And also make sure your dog is up to date in his shots.
Absolutely. You should take that documentation with you, because you could find yourself in a place where maybe you are staying in accommodations that you've planned and they want to see those papers. But also, too, emergencies and things do happen, and you could end up having to stay somewhere and they want that information. If you don't have it with you, then you have to go through the whole thing of getting your vet to fax it and getting that information, you know, to you. So just have it on your person, just like you have your own travel documents. Carry your pets.
You want to have it, but you're going to need a letter or some type of certificate showing your dog's been vaccinated.
Exactly.
The rabies tag is just not going to do it. I mean, it's nice to have it, but you need to actually have a letter from the vet with information saying the dog is up to date in its vaccinations.
Exactly, and that can be all of that travel documentation right there. Now, you know, another thing, too, that I see people doing, you know, you carry your dog, or we keep talking about dogs because I think dogs are the ones that travel probably the most in terms of traveling with your pet. It's usually dogs. But, you know, I see people walking and hiking with their dogs, and I just, you know, really feel bad when I see them on that hot pavement and asphalt.
It can be a problem. Particularly, you want to be careful with that. And again, it's, you know, the dog is like you. If you hike a lot and are used to it, and your dog hikes a lot and is used to it, that's okay. But if you hike all the time and your dog has never done a long hike or hike whatsoever, then it's going to be a challenge to him. So if you hike all the time, your dog's used to doing that, fine. If you hike and your dog has never hiked or hardly ever hikes, then you know you've got to consider that it's probably not going to be able to keep up with you, and those may be an issue. Those courses may be an issue, and also the dog's age as well.
The dog's age, but, you know, even if the dog is accustomed to hiking or walking and things like that with you, just take into consideration that you have on sneakers and shoes and the dog does not have anything on his paws. And that asphalt, if you're doing it in the really hot time of the day, can really burn your dog's paws.
Yep.
So you definitely want to keep that in mind. But now, what about swimming and taking the dogs in the water? I mean, dogs love water. I know ours do. We have labs, and that's what they want is some water.
As long as your dog is dog safe, that's fine. The dog has to learn to swim. They're not natural swimmers. Then once they get in and get the hang of it, they'll do it. But they at least need to get used to that. Otherwise, if they've never been in water before, it could be a shock and they can drown. So you need to make sure the dog's been used to that. It's used to swimming. And again, it's the same thing with walking. It has a similar endurance to what you're used to. And again, you follow the rules. You don't take the dog in areas where there's currents and stuff, because even though it may be a strong swimmer, it's vulnerable just like a human being if it gets caught in those currents of going out to sea.
That's true. That's very, very true. You know, another thing, too, that I like to do, especially once we've had our dogs in the, usually for us, it's in the salt water, but for those of you who are taking your dogs into the pools, once you bring them out, make sure you wash them off. Give them a wash, because that salt water, that chlorine water, that can affect their skin and everything as well. So make sure you give them a really good wash off when you bring them out of the water.
That's true. And if you do that, and you'll have fun with Fido, and Fido will have fun with you.
Well, that's true. That's true. But Dr. Bill, I want to ask you one other thing, though, because you mentioned in an earlier segment when we talked about the signs of being overheated for human beings. Are they similar for dogs?
Some are, but dogs don't sweat. They don't, you know, they pant. Usually they lose a lot of their, they regulate the body temperature through opening their mouths and panting that way. And it also depends on the type of dog. If you're going to an area where it's 95 to 100 degrees, and you've got a Great Pyrenees or some really cold weather dog, it's probably not a good idea to stay out very long, because that dog biologically has not evolved to that environment.
Exactly.
You know, so you've got to be really careful about things like that.
Exactly, exactly. And discolored gums might be a thing too. If mobility, if you see them slowing down and not wanting to participate, that is a sign to you that the dog is telling you that, hey, enough, enough, enough. So you want to stop and do the same things that you would do to cool off yourself. Go into a shaded area, get yourself out of that environment, give the dog some water or something to drink to help cool it off. And just, you know, keep an eye on your dog, because they're not super animals. Sometimes we think that dogs can do a little bit of everything, but they need to take some of the same precautions as we need to take.
Well, sure. If you follow that, you'll have a great time, and, you know, and those things are nice to do. So take your dog, enjoy it, make sure the place you take him to is a dog-friendly place, such as the Sapelo Island Birdhouses. And again, you'll have a great time on the Georgia beaches and a great time in the Georgia mountains.
Well, let me ask you this, though, about Sapelo and dogs. So you can take your dog on the beach on Sapelo with no problem?
No problem, but keep your dog on the leash, which is what you want to do. You also, these are native beaches. These are, when I say native and pristine beaches, they're pristine wild beaches. And they are real beaches. So you have a part of the beach where all the sand's at and the ocean, that's fun. But you move a bit further inland, you hit dunes. And these areas are wild areas, and they have things there that aren't very friendly to dogs or to people. So you want to make sure your dog stays in the designated areas.
Now, the designated areas then would just be sort of along the shore then, and they can go out into the water and run and play and, you know, have all the fun. But I agree with you about the dunes, because if your dog runs into the dune and you run after it, as you mentioned, there are some things in there that you don't want to encounter as well, meaning those snakes, right?
Yes, rattlesnakes. And you want to make sure that's not the case. And so you want to be careful of that. And first of all, it's illegal to go on the dunes. And so you want to make sure you're not doing that because you're breaking the law. But also, it's the reason it's illegal. It's for environmental and your own purpose. personal safety.
Exactly.
So things like that, you want to respect those signs and you want to respect those boundaries.
Now, okay, so I can people can bring dogs to the Sapple Island Birdhouses. Is that true with all of them? Because I know you have five properties there. So are each of the properties dog friendly?
There are two that we don't, because we try to keep those dog free because and cat free, because some people have allergies. So we want to make sure that that segment of the population also gets to enjoy you know, the island as well. And so those two units, we do not allow pets because of that simple reason.
And are there any sort of restrictions with the type of dog or anything?
Well, we like to have the dogs be small, not too big, because bigger dogs can be difficult to for yourself to move around the island with them, and also can be a bit of a problem when you're loading and moving things on and off the ferry.
That is true. That is true. Now, thank you guys for listening today. I hope we have provided you with lots of information, tips, and some tools, too, for your summer vacation. Now, come back and join us again in 2 weeks when we'll be back with more great information here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 and FM 102.9 WDUN. Bye-bye. The heat is on.